My Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day and a good week so far. Amen. Amen. You know, God is still on the throne. And prayer still changes things. Did you hear what I said? I said God is on the throne and prayer still changes things. And so since prayer still changes things, you call out to God. All right? All right? All right. All right. Today is the day that we focus in on our Bible question. Our Bible questions and answers. Bible questions and answers. And so we got some good Bible questions today. And I'm excited about that. Matter of fact, you hear me rubbing my hands like that. I just love getting into the word. You know, just like some people when they see some good foods, you know, some good fried chicken and stuff like that, you'll see them rubbing their hand because they know they're getting ready to eat good. Well, when I come to this Bible, I just start rubbing my hand because I know we're going to find some good treasures here in the word of God. We're going to eat good. We're going to feast good off the word. Now, just in case you have Bible questions, questions pertaining to the Christian life or marriage questions, you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call them in and leave them on my voicemail at 972-257. That's 3766. 972-257-3766. And those of you here at the church, you know, you can always drop yours questions. Just write them on a sheet of paper and just drop them into the offering basket on Sunday, and I'll get them out, and somebody get them out and pass them to me, and we'll answer those in the order that we get them in. All right, all right, all right. Let me get my Bible here. And we'll go ahead and get started. All right, boy, we got a couple of good questions. Got three good ones. Let's see, can we get started? Because this first one seemed to be kind of a heavy one here. All right, God, here it is. Let me read it. God allows allowed Satan to mess with our bodies, but he can't mess with our soul or kill our soul. And you got Matthew 4 and 3. All right. But what happens to a person who die and go to hell? What happens to their soul? Is there anyone controlling souls in hell? All right. All right. So we got a question here. Let me read again. God allowed Satan to mess with our bodies, but he can't mess with our soul or kill our soul. Matthew 4 and 3. But what happens to a person who die and go to hell? What happens to their soul? Is there anyone controlling souls in hell? Now, this is a very good question. She made mention of Matthew 4 and 3. Now, Matthew 4 and 3 is dealing with the temptation of Jesus. That's where the devil came and tempted Jesus three times. The devil came as the tempter. Matthew 4 and 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. So the tempter, the devil came. And when you really examine these three temptations of Jesus, one was targeted at the body, the other one was targeted at the soul, and the other one was targeted at the spirit. That first temptation was targeted at the body, where he said, turn the stones into bread. And Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, by your word to proceed out of the mouth of God. The next one, when the devil, in verse 5, the devil taken him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, he shall give his angel charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And there the devil, he misquoted the Bible, because he left out the part about he'll keep thee in the righteous way, that God will guard you in the righteous way. But if you're going to step out and sin, then you're going to lose a lot of your protection. It's just like an umbrella. As long as you're standing up under the umbrella, then you're not going to get hardly wet. The rain, the umbrella is going to protect you from the rain. But once you step out from up under the umbrella, then the rain is going to get you. Yeah, the rain will get you. And so that's a temptation there to the soul. And then when the devil tempted Jesus again, in verse number 9, he says, I give you all of these things if thou will fall down and worship me. And that was a temptation to the spirit. All right, but your question was more or less dealing with, but what happens to a person? You know, the devil can mess with the our bodies. But I was trying to show you there how the devil can tempt you in all three areas. He can tempt you in the area of your body. He can tempt you in the area of your soul. He can tempt you in the area of your spirit. And so he can, in one sense, he can mess with all three. But he don't have the power to take your soul and take your soul to hell. God has that power. The devil can destroy your body. That's right. God will allow the devil to use death. And death is one of the greatest enemies. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it the last enemy. And so God will allow the devil to take that death and destroy your body. But what you need to understand is that only God is all powerful. Yeah, only God is all powerful. Satan has power, but he don't have all power. The power that Satan has is delegated power. Did you hear what I said? The power that Satan has is delegated power. It's power that God has given unto him. The only power that the devil have is to kill the body, and that's even with God's permission. Let me give you a verse. Matthew 10:28 tells us that fear not them which kill the bodies. See, man can even take a gun and kill your body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, both soul and body in hell. See, God got that power. He got the ultimate power to cast your body and your soul in hell. See, the worst thing that a man can do is kill your body. That's the worst thing. The worst thing Satan can do is kill your body. But only God has the power to not only destroy your body, but God can take your soul and put your soul in hell. So we need to fear God. That's what he's saying there. See, I think a real good illustration of the devil messing with our bodies is how he attacked the Job body. But even in that story of Job, Satan's power was regulated. Remember how the devil came to God, and God gave the devil permission. He says, the devil says skin for skin, you know, a man will do anything to save his skin. And God says, all right, you can touch his body, but you can't touch his soul. God got the devil. See, the devil is kind of like God's bad dog. Yeah, the devil is kind of like God's bad dog. And God's got him on a long chain. Yeah, he got him on a chain. And God can snatch that chain at any time. See, most people think that the devil will be running hell. But the devil is not going to be running hell. The devil is going to be a prisoner in hell. See, the devil is not the prison warden in hell. The devil ain't running hell. No, God is running hell. See, God, he runs everything. Heaven, earth, and under the earth, hell. Every sphere of life, God run it. There is no area of life that God don't run, that God don't regulate it. There's nothing outside of the regulation of God. No. And so the devil ain't going to be running hell. No, God is going to be running hell. As a matter of fact, let me show you that over in the book of Revelation. You'll see God is going to throw the devil in hell. Now, to show you just how powerless. See, most people think that the devil and God is on the same level. No. Matter of fact, the devil can't even handle some of God's angels. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 20. The Bible says, beginning with verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now notice that God just sent one of his angels. Notice, he didn't even send two angels. He didn't send three angels. He didn't send 100 angels to mess with the devil. No. He sent one angel. Now that just goes to show you, in one sense, how weak the devil is. There are some other angels out there that's a whole lot stronger than the devil. See, the devil ain't nothing but an angel that went bad. He's an angel with a bad attitude. That's what the devil is. He's an angel with a bad attitude. And notice, God just sent an angel, and this angel had the key to the bottomless pit, and he throwed the devil in there. And then he throwed him in there for 1,000 years. Then after the devil came out after the 1,000 years and deceived the people, then God throwed him back in hell, but this time he throwed him in the lake of fire. Verse 10 say, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Now, see, the devil ain't going to be running things. The devil's going to be down there tormented, screaming and hollering, just like the false prophet and the Antichrist, the beast. He going to join them down there in the bottom of hell, and he's going to be screaming down there and hollering. Yeah. So the devil ain't running hell. No, the devil ain't running hell. So to answer your question, God, you ask, who's controlling the souls in hell? God. Yeah, God is controlling the souls in hell. The devil ain't running nothing. God is running everything. All right, let me move on. The next question, hopefully that helped you. The next question, is it true repentance if I slip back into the same sin after a long separation? Is it true repentance if I slip back into the same sin after a long separation? All right, so you asking, was your repentance real if after a long time you fall back into it? Well, let's deal with what repentance is first of all, okay? Repentance has to do with a change of mind that leads to a change of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's a change of mind, it affects your heart, and it leads to a change of lifestyle. So, if you really had a change of mind and a change of heart, and it led to a changed lifestyle, then your repentance was real. Uh-huh. Yeah. If your mind changed about that sin, and you had a change of heart, you quit loving it, and it led to a change of lifestyle, yeah, your repentance was real. For example, let me just give you an example. Let's say you was an alcoholic for 20 years, but one day you heard the preacher preach, you know, he preached this good sermon about sin and how, you know, drunkenness is a sin and the problem with drunkenness and things like that. And you say you were so convicted that you went and you repented of your sin, and you had a change of mind, you had a change of heart. You started hating drinking and alcoholism, and it just changed your life. Your whole lifestyle changed, and man, you was like David. You start telling other people about, you know, not drinking and doing that kind of sin. Drunkenness is a sin. You start preaching and teaching, like over in Psalm 51, David told God, you know, if you forgive me of my sins and purge me with hyssop, wash me and make me whiter than snow, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. He said, then I'll teach transgression your ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. David started working hard. That was a sign of true repentance. And let's say that that's what you did. You was working hard for the Lord. But then one day, you backslid. One day, let's say, one day, one of your old drinking buddies came by, stopped by, and let's say you lost your job. You had lost your job and looked like you couldn't find another job, and you just got depressed. You got down. Matter of fact, you quit, you know, going to church regularly. You quit teaching and preaching and telling other folks about, you know, they need to get right with the Lord. You just got so depressed. And because you got so depressed, when your drinking buddy came by there and he offered you something to drink, you took it. You took it. You took it. And you drunk for the first time after 10 years. You have been clean for 10 years. But when your drinking buddy came by there, because you were so depressed, you went on and you drunk. You drunk some. But after you drunk it, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. Your heart was smoke. It smoked your heart. You knew that you shouldn't have took that drink. Well, the question then, was your repentance real? Was your repentance real? For 10 years, you hadn't had nothing to drink for 10 years. You got saved. You repented of your sin. And you turned your back on drinking for 10 years. But when you lost your job, you quit going to church, you quit telling other people about Jesus, you quit being a witness, and you backslid. See, in all actuality, before you even took that drink, you had already backslid. You didn't know it, but you had already had backslid. You know how you had backslid? When you quit going to church, when you quit witnessing, when you quit working for the Lord, it was just a matter of time. It was just a matter of time for you to go on and drink. See, in order for you to fall into temptation, there has to be an opportunity for sin. See, a lot of people, they hadn't sinned because there's not the opportunity. See, what the devil often do, the devil often come to you when you are at your weakest. Mm-hmm. Remember the story, the temptation of Jesus? It was after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then the devil showed up. Uh-huh. He shows up when you're at your weakest point. You done got down. When a person get down like that, then opportunity for sin shows up. Opportunity for sin in the form of a temptation shows up, and the person ends up backsliding. And so, but I still feel that your repentance was real. Your repentance was real. Yeah, what happened, you just lost focus along the way. Mm-hmm. You lost focus along the way. Let me give you a word picture out the Bible. In Matthew 14, don't you remember the story of Peter walking on the water? Yeah, don't you remember how Jesus' disciples was going through a storm? They was out there in that boat. They was in a storm, and Jesus came walking on the water to see about his disciples. And as he was walking on the water, when Peter saw him, Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, then bid me to come out there and walk on that water with you." And Jesus says, "Come on, Peter." And Peter, remember the story? How Peter got out that boat and he started walking on the water. Did you hear what I said? Peter got out the boat and started walking on the water. So now we got two people. See, Jesus wasn't the only one that walked on water. Peter was walking on water. That's something supernatural. That's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. Peter is doing something that he normally could not do in his own strength. But notice, Peter was walking on the water, but something happened. What happened? The Bible says when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Did you hear what I said? When he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Yeah. In other words, he took his focus. He took his focus off the Lord. When he took his focus off the Lord and put it on his circumstance, when he put it on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. But then guess what he done? Peter said, "Lord, save me." And guess what happened? Jesus reached right in there, grabbed him, saved him. And notice, the Bible says, and they walked back to the ship. They walked back there to the boat. Notice, Peter resumed walking with the Lord on the water again. Listen, that's what you need to do, my sister. Yes, your repentance was real, just like Peter was walking on the water. That was real. But what happened? He took his focus. Same thing with you, in your case. You done took your focus off the Lord. When you took your focus off the Lord, that's what happened. Yeah, you took your focus off the Lord, and that's what sunk you, when you took your focus off the Lord. So what you need to do is do what Peter did. Cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to save you and rescue you. And watch the Lord rescue you. And then once you do that, then get your focus back on the Lord. And once you get your focus back on the Lord, then you'll be able to resume that supernatural walk again with the Lord. You'll go from here to Jesus come back if you just stay with the Lord and stay with your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. You won't sink again. You won't sink again as long as you keep your focus on Jesus. Well, look like the clock on the wall, ladies and gentlemen, is saying that's going to be all. I had another question, but look like we'll have to say that for next time. All right. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So now get ready now for Miss June. I'm going to bring Miss June Hunt on in just a few minutes. All right. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, and miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.